Imagine hiring a Formula One driver to deliver your mail, but because of his whole routine, he actually ends up slowing down your daily route.
Yeah, that would be incredibly frustrating.
Right. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a highly technical engineering document for the MPLE VTD engine. Our mission for you today is to uncover a massive paradox. Like, why did applying traditional coding speedups to this cutting-edge 3D AI architecture actually bring it to its knees?
It's a huge paradox, really.
It is, and we're going to explore the radical paradigm shift required to save the entire project. Okay, let's unpack this.
To understand why it broke, I mean, you really have to understand how unique this engine is. It isn't your standard flat neural network.
Right, it's totally different.
Exactly. It maps out operations as a spatial 3D grid that dynamically shapeshifts across 21 different data types or D-types.
Wow.
So you've got standard data running right alongside highly compressed 8-bit formats like FP8, E5, M2, all at once. It's incredibly complex.
Right. And naturally, the developers try to optimize that massive grid using raw CPU assembly code, which, looked like a huge win at first.
Definitely.
For dense single-cell layers, the handwritten code sped things up beautifully. It was almost 2.5 times faster. But then they expanded it.
Yeah, that's where the trouble started.
Right. They scaled out to a 3x3 grid with 189 layers, and the assembly code just completely choked. It dropped to like a fraction of the speed of standard Go code, specifically 0.75 to 0.88x.
Which is awful.
Wait, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. If the raw math is executing faster at the lowest level, how does the entire process get slower? It's like that F1 driver analogy.
Yeah, exactly.
The driver is incredibly fast on the road, but if he has to park, check his clipboard, validate the customer's ID, and walk up the driveway at all 189 houses, the raw speed of the car doesn't even matter anymore.
That is the perfect way to visualize it.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is what we call dispatch overhead.
Dispatch overhead. Okay.
Every single time the CPU tells the GPU hardware to do a piece of math, the system's API has to do a security and validation check. That is the clipboard check.
Ah,
And
excellent.
that web GPU validation takes about 95 microseconds per operation.
Which sounds practically instant to you and me.
But to a processor, it's an eternity. If you have 189 distinct layers in that 3D grid, that 95 microsecond penalty stacks up to an 18 millisecond delay before a single calculation even fires.
Jeez, 18 milliseconds of just waiting around.
Right. Mathematically, that dispatch overhead placed a hard cap on the engine, limiting it to a sluggish 55 tokens per second. The CPU was spending all its time switching contexts and checking clipboards instead of actually crunching numbers.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because you don't fix that by buying a faster F1 car. You fix it with a total paradigm shift. They move to something called operator fusion.
Exactly. Instead of 189 separate micro dispatches, they built an ahead-of-time compiler.
Okay, how does that work?
It looks at the grid spatially
Yeah.
and essentially flattens 27 separate cells into one giant batched hardware submission.
So instead of checking the clipboard 27 times, you just check it once.
Yes, that drops the API tax from 18 milliseconds down to under a single millisecond.
Okay, but wait. How do they manage the memory for those 21 different data types when everything gets smashed together into one massive batch?
Well, they solved it by moving to static VRAM arenas.
Arenas.
Yeah, think of it as pre-reserving a giant fixed parking lot for all the data instead of trying to, pave new parking spots on the fly while the car is moving.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
And to handle those 21 different data types, they wrote new GPU compute shaders. These decompress those low-bit formats natively, right there in the hardware registers.
Which is huge.
It is, because doing the decompression directly in the registers completely bypasses the painfully slow process of retrieving data from main memory. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, doing all of this introduces a terrifying new problem.
Right, because by smashing all these operations into one massive fused black box, you solve the speed issue, but you totally lose visibility. If something goes wrong inside that giant batch, how do you catch it? The sources point out that almost 62% of deep learning compiler bugs are silent logic errors.
Yeah, 61.9% to be exact. They don't crash your system at all, they just subtly corrupt the math.
Think about the AI tools you use every day. If 60% of their core math had silent errors, you wouldn't even know your results were totally hallucinated.
It's a massive risk.
So, with aggressive operator fusion creating a massive liability for invisible errors, what is their fail-safe?
It's a technique called optimization-aware differential fuzzing. Basically, the engineers kept that old, slow CPU interpreter around.
Well, they didn't throw it out.
No, they use it as a bedrock oracle.
It slowly and perfectly calculates the math step by step.
And then it double checks the fast compiled GPU's output to ensure absolute zero variance.
You got it. This cleanly bifurcates the entire project into a research runtime designed for perfect accuracy and an inference runtime built for relentless massive throughput. So what does this all mean? We've traced this incredible journey from a crippling CPU bottleneck to a totally flattened 3D volumetric GPU compiler.
Yeah, it completely changes how the system operates to guarantee both speed and accuracy.
Right. When the sheer scale of operations outgrows traditional optimization, you just have to split your system.
You really do.
Which feels oddly familiar. In human psychology, we often talk about having a fast, intuitive system for rapid decisions and a slow, analytical system for deep logic.
Oh, right, like system one and system two thinking.
Exactly. It leaves you with a pretty wild thought to chew on. If our bleeding-edge AI runtimes naturally evolve to split into these two distinct halves, a slow, perfect evaluator and a fast, compiled executioner, how closely is software architecture beginning to mirror the two system cognitive processes of the human brain itself?